We are. What are we? We have a timeout left, but we are spiking the ball.
Who's we?
Utah.
You play for Utah now?
Oh, they're kneeling. Okay, they're kneeling down.
Once they defeat Florida,
that's right.
They win his loyalty.
Transitive we.
Okay. They assume our essence, right?
But so then we become granted. Wait, shouldn't that make you an Oregon State fan now?
That's not how Oregon State works. That's how Utah works, Ryan.
Okay, all right.
Because only Utah has unlocked this skill.
I see. Oh, this fucking skill tree. I gotta go back and play again. Yeah.
So what is Oregon State's unique skill in this?
Chainsaw.
Start game with chainsaw.
Yeah.
Civilization entirely geared toward developing chainsaw.
Unlocked chainsaw.
Yeah.
That is a huge boost at the beginning of any game. Any game, right? You start out, you have like, press X to learn how to swing stick. In Oregon State's like,
chainsaw.
Nope. Cool. We're skipping all that.
Do you want to develop currency, system of belief,
that.
Religion?
I will cut people's arms off and take their currency.
Chainsaw. Solves all problems.
Simply.
Link, you must sally forth.
Utes win, baby.
It's so awesome. Once you're riding a horse, horseback chainsaw.
Oh.
A horse as loud as a motorcycle.
Would you like to develop religion? Yes, chainsaw religion. Chainsaw God.
Chainsaws cut trees, which can be carved into objects.
In my head, the way it worked was actual beavers developed chainsaws. They were like, this hurts, and this is tiring, and so we're going to develop this technology.
Fullcast After Dark for men.
Welcome to the Fullcast After Dark.
That was well enunciated.
It started from a good base, too.
Yeah.
Really led from the hips.
That's right. I led with the hips, brought the shoulders, finished the tackle. That's what I did. Mm-hmm. Hey, do you know who didn't finish the tackle? I'm going to segue. UNC, the first thing I want to remind everybody is tonight, as a 23.5 point favorite.
I thought it was higher, but go ahead.
Yeah, it was 20. At game time, game time was 23.5.
Okay.
Over one win UVA, who was winless in conference.
Winless against FBS. The only win is against Washington and Lee, I think.
That is correct. And we should have known something special was going to happen because this game was on. The CW.
The former UPN and the former WB.
That's right. Action lives here on the CW.
When are we getting our branded CW sports polos?
Okay, can we talk about the polos?
Okay, can we get blazers? Only they look like they are navy, like the CBS blazers, but in every other way they're cut like Gossip Girl uniforms.
So I think the thing about the CW broadcast is... 99% of it is like surprisingly really high quality. Not surprising to those of us who grew up loving WB and UPN programming, but like considering they do one football game a week, it looks great. But then they cut to the booth, and it's when the illusion falls apart.
Oh, it's like, oh shit, this is a middle school morning announcement.
I think we do need to agree on something, though. The true spiritual home of college football across all networks is the CW.
No. The true spiritual home of ACC football.
Yeah.
It's the CW. Well, fuck the ACC network.
No, that's second place.
That's the most important conference, Ryan.
That's true.
Therefore.
That is correct.
Clemson, Miami now re-knotted up against in overtime. But first things first.
In a game not important enough to make the CW.
but first things first. Let's finish up the CW game of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia. Honestly, this could have been worse. There was in the final minutes. There was a fumble touchback situation where Virginia fumbled the ball out of the back of the end zone. Everyone's favorite rule. You know that, and it ended up giving UNC a late chance. drove down the field, couldn't punch it in. But yeah, it was probably a little bit worse than the final score looks for the Heels.
It was also just like field position nightmare day for North Carolina. Like they were constantly, like I'll admit I didn't watch the start of this game, but the very first play says first and 10 at UNC 8. Guys, what the hell? What happened? That's not cool. And so many of their drives are like starting inside their own 25. And meanwhile, Virginia had, I think, 3 scoring drives that started at their own 49 or better. It was just bad news bears all
That's
night.
Like asking my landlord to increase my rent because I want to grind hard.
That's true. It's like, you're my toughest soldier. Give me tougher battles, Jesus. This is, by the way, I blame everybody on NFL Draft Twitter who immediately dove over to the Drake May side, because remember, you could only believe 2 quarterbacks are good, Caleb Williams or Drake May, and not both.
Yes.
Right? So everybody who was like, oh, Caleb Williams blows now. I've been on Drake May this whole time. Oh, you forgot.
Oh, bud.
You forgot his lot in life is to play for a Mac Brown team just waiting to bite into the rich chocolate-filled core of a shocking ACC loss somewhere randomly assorted in the middle of the
Which
season.
Which part of it is chocolate, and what kind of chocolate?
Let's see. This was the UVA flavored one, so I'm gonna
and
go
it's
with
Baker's
one of the
chocolate.
Nah,
it's alcoholic.
Yeah, it's UVA. Okay. It's one of those alcoholic granny chocolates.
It's like a cherry cordial, but it started to crystallize a little bit.
It's a little too expensive.
Grand Marnier. Spencer, say Grand Marnier is Mac Brown, please.
Grand Marnier.
Yeah. Thank you. It was all right.
You're deteriorating, not unlike Mac.
I also like that we spent the first month of the season being like, wow, UNC beat South Carolina and FSU beat LSU. And oh shit, Louisville beat Notre Dame. I guess the ACC, nope, the ACC continues to just immediately eat its own poop. All goddamn season long, the ACC is like, oh boy, I'm really getting it together. Time to eat some poop.
Well, that's what's in the chocolate filler that I was talking about. We were wrong. It wasn't Grand Marnier. The ACC is just going to ACC. This is what's going to happen. Life is going to be sweet. You're going to be rolling down the road undefeated, and suddenly you're just going to break your ankle, right, stepping into a pothole full of UVA. That's exactly what happened.
I think the other thing going on here is UNC is bullshit and always will be. There will never be a UNC team that I'm like, wow, man, they're really definitely good. You know,
once they get to 10th in the rankings, it's like, and now it's time to cool
It's
off.
Like, whoa. No. Stop. Like, I don't know if it's just bias from years of previous UNC teams that have nothing to do with this one, but I don't know. I'm just personally not capable of ever believing in UNC.
It's also a little bit, it's like half UNC always does this, and it's a little bit like, oh, this is very Mac Brown at Texas.
That too.
Like there are a lot of patterns here that you can find if you want.
Yeah,
it's
this is the Iowa State or K-State game.
100%.
Drop, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, where Mac was just like, sorry, I was too busy playing Workers and Resources, this fascinating game where you run a Soviet city like you're a central planner. I object to the philosophies, but as a gaming experience, it's quite satisfying.
I'm Matt Brown for Carcassonne.
I've been playing Settlers of Catan.
I'm Matt Brown. Would you like to play Drug Wars?
Damn right I would, Matt. Fuck yeah, let's line up our calculators. Let's do this. What a weird game.
I guarantee you UVA students are the ones who are great at Drug Wars, though. Like, those kids fucking have crushed it on some calculator games.
Oh my god, I figured it out. I cracked it.
Yeah.
The Michigan State plane trackers were right. Sparty is getting ready to hire Urban. And the Hitler image was to make Shelley Meyer and the other coaches guys feel welcome.
Okay. Hi. Let's revisit several things about the Michigan State game.
Oh boy, there's 2 things to revisit. Yep. But go ahead.
which one will you mention first?
Well, one, we would mention the actual score of the game, which was the worst since a 55.
There's no material.
A 55-0 loss in like the late 40s. Speaking of the late 40s, the final score was 49-0.
Wow.
Yeah, 49-0. This game was over the minute it kicked. like the minute it kicked. But before that kickoff, y'all, there was something else. Jason had the best single summary of this I will see on any corner of the internet about how badly things can go for you as a spokesperson for a college football program. And it's this, which is having to type up HitlerApology.doc while the team is losing 42-0 to its most despised rival is an actual sports info director nightmare. Jason made none of that up. That is something someone had to do tonight in the middle of a fucking college football game.
Like, in a season in which your coach was already fired for a legit off-field scandal. And, like, like, you're going to have a fucking controversies section on your 2023 season page. Like, plural. Like, that's... Oh. God. Like...
It's going to start with your coach propositioning the sexual assault counselor, and it's going to somehow continue from there.
Yeah, well, and then things like, I don't know, like worse or better or whatever, but the badness continued, that's for sure.
So assuming that most people, because they had other things to do, weren't paying attention to Michigan State, Jason, why did somebody have to write HitlerApology.doc?
So before the game, which brief tangent, it you know, after several days of everyone noticing that, hey, those Michigan second halves, when they really pour it on people, those suddenly look really suspicious. Michigan decided to do that in both halves. It was like 21-0 before he even looked up. But briefly before Michigan just took out a whole lot of feelings on Michigan State. There was a video on the scoreboard that it turns out, as Bubba Prog found, was basically a YouTube trivia thing that evidently someone in Michigan State's athletic department just decided, we need something on the scoreboard for the game. Let's just put this trivia video up there. That's fine.
Pre-roll at the movies, only they don't have their own, so they took one off the internet.
Yeah, like they don't have Maria Menounos or however, whatever, you know, that person. Or they don't have Nicole Kidman.
Hey, heartbreak does not feel good in a place like this. I don't feel bad for skipping Nick.
And there was a screenshot of it before the game, and I think it was from a Michigan fan, and it went semi-viral, and it was like, this seems real, but I don't know for sure. You know, you can't trust anything these days, especially not on Twitter.
But then the apology came.
Apology came, then it was like, oh, okay, let's go back and share the viral image because it's apparently real. It's like, it's not even like, look at Hitler, a clearly bad person. It's just a graphic of like smiling Hitler as if he's about to come out on the field and sing a song.
Sheepish. Like, he looks embarrassed to be there.
It looks like, and now, special guest, Hitler.
Yeah.
And like the other really fucked up thing, granted, where do you begin here? But like, Hitler was a fan of the real life actual Spartans. It's the first thing that's ever made me think, like, they should probably change their name at some point.
We've said on the show before how we feel about the Spartans.
The Spartans, I mean, they were overrated in every way. Like, there's nothing cool about the Spartans.
Not tonight, they were properly rated.
Yeah. No, I don't think they covered, sir. But, like, the Spartans fucking sucked, not just as far as achievements go, but also, like, morally, in the sense that, like, you know, Hitler was a fan, and like I'm glad we have the kind of audience where people aren't going to be like the woke liberal podcast calls for Spartans to be canceled, because first of all they did the fine job of that themselves.
First of all, Xerxes canceled Sparta, not me.
And then Jim Harbaugh, that combo right there.
Two similar leaders in a lot of ways.
Two dudes who love being shirtless.
Yeah.
Love glory.
This is, by the way, for any parent.
Just needs a couple of nose rings, like maybe a cartilage piercing.
Ace has pointed out that Michigan covered the over.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
This is of course, anybody who has ever been on YouTube for more than 5 minutes knows that inevitably Hitler will pop up.
Yeah.
So you just don't leave shit scrolling Michigan State. Uh-huh. You know that.
The fact that all of this comes from, I don't know, just put a YouTube video up.
Just put some stuff up there, man. You would have been better off trusting a college student to make something, and that says a lot.
So we were talking about this before we got started, but like there's so many better, like, I propose that they should put up the channel where you see a hydraulic press just smash things. Like, yeah, that feels like that would go over really well.
Like, as I think, Ryan and Holly, I think you were saying before we started, you're doing Michigan's bit. They're the history school. Like, if this airs at Michigan, it would be like, oh, well, they're dorks for this. They can't help it. They're addicted to history. This isn't your thing. Stay in your lane. Forestry, that's your lane. Give us tree facts.
I just really should have done the Pikachu thing. I'm going to say it again. Who's that Pokemon? It's Hitler! It's Clefairy! Fuck!
It's Bob Ross. Yeah. Listen, they've had a bad day. USC, at least the last time I was there, had one of the best interstitial game segments I've ever seen, which is they would do player karaoke. They had player karaoke, and these were all in pre-taped segments, but they had, like, you know, you would look up and there would be like half the O-line singing Party in the USA on the Jumbotron while everyone sang along in the stadium. It was great. High energy, you know, high energy. You get to see the kids having fun. You get to have a little fun yourself. And I imagine a fairly low lift production-wise.
And there's no Hitler.
No Hitler in Miley, not in Miley's party.
But in Michigan State's defense, at least it wasn't fucking Blippi. Like, my
we probably should say the phrase. Listen, if we're gonna redact one thing, it should probably be in Michigan State's defense.
There ain't much there. Michigan was.
I'm the leading tackler now. Look at me.
What an absolute dog shit era, day, year, whatever, for Michigan State. You can't even ask Michigan State's coach what to think about this, because you'd have to explain what happened to Michigan State's coach, because he's not there, because something really weird and shitty and awful already happened to them. God damn, that's bad. It's there's nothing but bad. Can we talk about? Did anybody watch Clemson Miami?
Or it's, like, it's still happening.
Heck, we're watching it right now.
We're watching it right now.
Right. It's in overtime. Clemson has fourth and goal. They'll need to get this and the 2-point conversion.
So, with this, I'm to understand that Mario'd again.
Yeah. It is
not as bad as the
Georgia Tech.
Different. It's not good, but it's different.
And it's certainly more consistent with what other coaches would do.
It was on the 38 with, I think, 17 seconds to go. They could have taken a shot or two to try to set up a long field goal, something of that nature. Clemson's 38, to be clear. But they elected to just go to overtime. And, like, I don't know, man, with all eyes on you, on your late game management decisions.
No, what do you mean all eyes? They weren't on the CW.
I'm sorry, they weren't
Nobody's
on the
CW. Nobody's watching
with
that.
Several eyes on you.
All the eyes on Utah USC.
With all the eyes on Michigan State. But, no, like, everyone's already paying a whole lot of attention to this. And I think at some point, we just got to get Mario a kid who has played a lot of Madden. That's it. It's just... We know every program needs one of those. None more than Miami.
Most DJs are also you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a DJ, and most DJs are also pretty good gamers.
Yeah.
Sandman says they huddled for 30 seconds, and that was particularly infuriating.
Yeah.
Hey, I hate to derail this, but we need to go back to Michigan State for a very important question from Cover Zero Joke. Does more Hitlers than points on a scoreboard replace two consecutive no-hitters pitched as the most unbreakable record in sports?
Miami wins.
Don't tempt them.
Down goes Clemson. Three loss Clemson.
Huh.
Well, you know what?
Congrats to Miami.
I think we have to wait to answer that question until we see if Urban gets a college job next year.
4-3. You know what? Maybe we need a few more losses around here. Huh?
Let's lighten this load a little bit more. Till it's just me and Jesus. I think Clemson ought to hire Urban.
You know who's always on your bandwagon? That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Unless you lose to South Carolina, then he'll...
Yeah, then Jesus is like, you're on your own, motherfucker.
Jesus
keep
has
it walking.
So
Jesus walked right out of this bandwagon.
Here are the teams that are in line to play Florida State as of now for the ACC championship. Louisville, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, and Duke.
Yeah.
It is very hard to come up with a permutation there where you're like, oh, that's going to be a good ACC championship. And now Clemson is stuck with Wake Forest and Pitt and Syracuse as the three lost teams?
Oof.
Huh. Well.
Hey, I don't want to alarm anybody, but
please do.
Washington? What you doing, Washington?
What is Washington?
It's fine. It's nothing. Late. It's late. It's an Arizona school.
But it's in Washington, though.
But they're in Seattle.
As we're looking at this, they are tied with 1-5 Arizona State at home in the second quarter.
And they've turned the ball over, I think, three times.
Did y'all get a nap in?
Which is not ideal.
Oh, no. Michael Penix is hurt. No.
Ooh.
No. I rebuke this. Oh, God.
Should we discuss Penn State, Ohio State?
Sure. Yeah, let's get our prayer warriors out.
Sure.
And in the meantime, let's talk about Penn State.
The weirdest thing about this game was I can't remember the last time I watched a game and everybody, like the play-by-play and the color commentary and like all of the halftime people, and even to the point where like the commercials, if they could have, would have been making these comments. Everybody was saying the exact same thing about like, why isn't Penn State doing this? And I can't remember, and the doing this thing was throw the ball downfield. I swear to God, at one point, Matt Leinart was like, maybe you get pass interference. You never know. but like everybody agreed across a panel that's like fairly different and, you know, has different perspectives on how you should run an offense and this, that, and the other. And they were all just like, why is Penn State not trying anything besides like the shortest passes in the world?
Ryan, can you unpack your statement after this game that said Penn State lost by one score to Ohio State is mathematically true, but emotionally false?
So, and I fall prey to this as much as anybody else. Sometimes you'll go look at like the game you didn't get to watch this week or a game from a previous season that you don't remember that clearly. And you'll say like, oh, okay, 8 points. That must have been a pretty close game. There was just very little about this that felt like Penn State could ever throw the punch that was going to get them back in the game. Like the best thing that they did from a like move the ball perspective was arguably recover a punt that went off not even the punt returner's leg, a different Ohio State player's leg. Like it just felt like there was no move.
Full credit to them.
Yeah.
Okay, like I want to do the positive thing first because the negative is overwhelming and feels far more important to say, but I want to do the positive as a matter of formality, which is this, that Ohio State's defense, by playing safer coverages and getting better over the past year, did a fantastic job eliminating every possible solution that Penn State tried to foist upon them. There's the positive. Everyone looked really, really good today. They are a legit unit. They played really, really well. Most of the reason that we're sitting here saying that Penn State was utterly inert and incapable of even threatening or happening or existing or giving anyone an ounce of hope that anything would happen, the Ohio State's defense is largely responsible for that. That said, baby, you gave us fucking nothing. Nothing. Not a dime. Not a dollar. Not a penny. Nothing. No inertia. A complete inability to not only move the ball, stretch the field in any direction, zero ideas. I understand that a good defense can make you look like you're completely inert and have no option about what you're trying to do, okay? This went past that. They didn't have shit. They didn't have a single idea about how to pick that defense apart. None.
Like, how many times was it 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, and there were 7 guys in the box, and they were like, well, we're running it anyway. We're just going to run it anyway. And it just didn't work. It felt to me, I think the best way I can explain it, if you've ever seen a chess match where one party, you're like, you only have 3 pieces and the other guy's got 7. This just doesn't feel sustainable. That's what a lot of this kind of turned into to me.
I think for me, as a person who entered as a non-believer in Ohio State.
Yeah.
I think I sort of figured out what that disconnect is with Ohio State. It's for the last maybe 5 to 10 years, we have focused a lot on Ohio State's offense, right? Marvin Harrison Jr. and various first-round quarterbacks and Heisman finalists and so on and so forth. Like, they've had a lot of star names on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
Historically, Ohio State is punts and defense. Historically, Ohio State is super Iowa, right?
Right.
Like, that is how Ohio State has won tons and tons and tons of games throughout the past century. Like, Ohio State having an awesome defense, it's weird. It's become an easy thing to overlook because we're so fixated on whether the offense is good or not, or whether the offense plays the same way as Michigan or not.
The other part of that is that frequently the Ohio State defense is not the thing that is carrying them in, like, the big marquee games.
Yeah.
Well, as of late, yeah.
Yes.
Over the last few years.
Right.
But, like, you know, if we had replaced Ohio State's helmets so far this season with Georgia's helmets, mm-hmm. we would say, elite defense, they don't need an offense,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But we've become fixated on the idea that they do need an elite offense, and first of all, I'm not sure they do. Secondly, they have Marvin Harrison, so they kind of have one anyway.
Hey, you know, that is true. Can I give you something that's, like, inexcusable? Something there's no defense for? None? The two best players on your offense are Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton if you're Penn State. Mm. They are the best people you have on that side of the ball. They each had 9 carries in this game. 9. Now you say, oh, well, maybe that's because they got behind. This game finished 20-12. It was 10-6 at the half. And at the half, by the way, and I know this because I wrote it down because I was like, this can't be right. Drew Aller already had 17 attempts. Well, surely they tried to establish the run in a game like this underneath the leaden skies of the Midwest, in a game that is a defensive struggle between two teams, you know, equally matched in vigor, if not in the ability to have a downfield passing game. If this is all true, then surely you would go ahead and try to establish it. You would try to give your team more opportunities to run the ball, especially because it would actually potentially give you some room downfield in terms of a passing game. Drew Aller finished with 42 attempts. He averaged 4.5 yards a completion. They didn't have shit. I don't know what the plan was here. I don't know if they ever had a plan. That's the most damning thing I can say about this, is that in the biggest single game of the year, it didn't look like you wanted to try, even with your best option.
Yeah, like, this is a game where Penn State calls multiple double passes, which did not work. Like, most of the time they didn't even get to try the second pass. It turned into backwards pass, run. And yeah, I mean, I think, to Jason's point, I think Ohio State, and I know they are dinged up, especially on the offensive side of the ball, but, like, they look very much a work in progress. Like, even the last touchdown they scored, it's like, oh, man. You know, he's wide open. And it's like, well, yeah, that's because two Penn State guys ran into each other. That's not going to happen all the time. Marvin Harrison Jr. is not usually going to be wide open, although there were other points where he was. But, yeah, just, I don't know. Like, it didn't ever have the vibe of... I think it is very telling that the one time since James Franklin... has arrived at Penn State that they've beaten Ohio State, it was on a blocked field goal.
Yep.
It was not on that they ran back. It was not on, like, oh, this awesome drive we put together to win the game. That hasn't happened.
And to the numerous commenters who've noted that Michigan will probably be favored against Ohio State, okay, sure. Michigan's just, I mean, I, as someone who picked him to win the title and has, feel even better about that at this point than I did in the preseason, Michigan is still pretty hard to get a handle on. Yeah, like, the score today looks incredible. Also, that's a team with an interim coach that was, that entered at 2-4.
It was writing a Hitler apology.
It's mined elsewhere. I would say Michigan has been the best team in the country all season long. However, as someone who saw their past two games against Ohio State and was at one of them, it's still hard to call at this point.
I think the team that makes an interesting counterpoint to that, at least when they are playing very well, is Florida State at this point.
You know, can I give you a real scientific, my scientific judgment of Florida State here? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They get on your ass. Look, yeah. That's what I love about them. It's not like they have, like, Michigan. I would not qualify Michigan as a team that's like, Michigan gets on your ass, right, immediately. No, they're like,
today,
we'll wait.
Today they did, yes.
They did. But, like, they will slowly hammer away at you, right? Like, they pretty much, if you had to, like, look at their scores, they go through, like, first quarter, 14 points. Second quarter, 14 points. Third quarter, 14. Like, they just chip away, and you go, well, this seems inevitable. Florida State, you'll be playing them, and all of a sudden, eight plays happen, and you're like, oh, fuck, we're down 14. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Like, yeah. I love that they go in these, like, wild bursts of, like, anger at you. It's crazy.
I think FSU, outside of the Boston College and Clemson games, outside of that, I mean, you know, every week, including a couple of at least decent teams in there. It feels very strange to think of Duke and LSU as of the same quality, but.
And the Boston College and Clemson games are the only road games at this point. And I think, like, there is some, I can maybe chalk some of it up to that. Like, this is a team that still is figuring out how to play on the road. The road teams they have left are Wake Forest, Pitt, and Florida.
And but brother, you don't want to walk into Pitt.
Not right now. No, no.
You mean the same Pitt team that just lost to Wake Forest?
You better pray that game's not on the CW.
So dangerous, yeah. If that game's on the CW, buddy.
Fortunately, Pitt has to play Notre Dame first. But that will be on NBC. So.
That's going to be a supernatural loss. I'm gossiping, girl. And you know what it is? Let's talk about how Pitt's going to blow you up.
Arizona State is beating Washington right now.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
7-0.
Also, Nevada is still beating San Diego State.
The fuck?
Not that good, but Nevada is winless.
I think Nevada just
won. Yeah, Nevada's
won.
Terrible.
That's what the scoreboard says here.
And they're winning 6-0, which means, and we're going to get to this, we could have two teams today win without scoring 10 points. And this is where we talk about.
And neither of them is Iowa.
And this is where we talk, correct. Or Nebraska, or any Big Ten team. Mississippi State, 7. Arkansas, 3. Oh, I didn't watch a snap of this game, and I'm confident I didn't need to.
I had a thought about Arkansas related to, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how, you know, the downfall of the Sam Pittman era, right? Mm-hmm. I thought back to 2021, and I went back and looked at sort of the crest of that wave, right? That 2021 Arkansas team, they beat number 15 Texas. Number 15 Texas finished 5-7. They beat number 7 A&M, who finished 8-4. They beat number 17 Mississippi State, who finished 7-6. Right? There was a lot of selling high. That team ended up number 28 in the computers. So like the peak of the Pittman era. Mm-hmm. Was even earlier than it feels in hindsight. Like once you actually look, it was a bit artificial all along, I think.
Well, there's also this, and this is a point brought to me by our closest, most long-suffering Arkansas fan. From 2020 to 2022, the assistant head coach and defensive coordinator was Barry Odom, and it's not so easy to say that the real power behind the throne was X, and then when they left, Y was exposed. But I will say this. The minute Barry Odom goes to UNLV...
Who just got bowl eligible today.
6-1 UNLV.
Do you know how long it's been since UNLV played in a bowl game?
Is it the longest streak?
It is, I think, tied with UMass for the longest streak. It's been 10 years. 10 years plus. 2013 was the last year they made a bowl game.
So Barry Odom goes and UNLV becomes 6-1. And when he leaves Arkansas shits every bed in the hotel. Like, it just goes from room to room.
Yeah, let's unpack this.
Yeah, just goes from room to room, pooping in beds. That's what they've done. Uh-huh. Just soiling drawers left and right. That's what happened.
All right, just making sure.
Yeah, to Arkansas. And it like it, and I think
never back down from a metaphor, kids. Never back down from it.
No, we're riding this one, buddy.
Longest bowl drought appears to be, depending on how you count it, either ULM or UMass.
So additionally, in order to call in, this is, you know, like things that happen preseason when you go, where did you go wrong? Well, one, you lost Barry Odom, who did a great job there on the defense. And secondly, in order to fix your offense, you decided that with the departure of Kendall Briles, which I think could have been addition by subtraction and should have been, you brought in Dan Enos, who has taken our big, beautiful friend, KJ Jefferson, and made him an afterthought, taking away his ability to run with the ball and sort of make plays up on, you know, the out of phase, and just fucking ruined him, man. It sucks. It sucks. I have nothing deeper to say other than please restore my lad's ability to make happy chaos on the football field.
Yeah, this team is a wreck.
Their ass.
Like, good for Mississippi State. Winning when you only score 7 points is fucking impossible. But kudos to Mississippi State for doing it.
So, speaking of only scoring 6, can we talk about Iowa now? This game was awesome. Did anyone else watch it?
I treated it like getting x-rays, where it was like I could only go in for a little bit. I couldn't just stay in the room.
As
I melt my kidneys.
As probably the only non-Iowa fan who watched almost all of their games last year, I am back on my bullshit. This experience fucking rocks. Their punter, Torrey Taylor, is awesome. And that's it. That's the only thing that happens. So the moment that'll linger, right, was in the final minute or so, they have the ball at about the 45, down 2 with 2 minutes left, and they punt, and it's like, God, yes. And of course, Minnesota fucks around, throws passes and stuff, failing to kill any clock, and they punt it back, and it's like, my God, Big Ten academics, I don't ever want to hear about that bullshit ever again. Iowa runs back the punt, and it's this immediate moment of like, yep, punting is winning. Iowa, no matter who punts, punting is winning for Iowa, right? You know, they managed to score almost 20 points and beat the, nope, it got called back because Cooper DeJean was waving his arms, waving his teammates away from the ball, and the refs determined that it was actually an invalid fair catch signal, one that would have deterred Minnesota's players from competing. And, you know, it's, I don't know.
I think as the rule is written and as, like, the rule book lays out how it should work, it probably was the right call.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, it's, we have a situation where the natural human hand movement to signal go away, mm-hmm, is this arm wave, and the official football movement to establish I am calling for a fair catch is a very similar move. As commenter Kelbo points out, Iowa also has a waving to the kids move that is exactly the same as well. In reality, every player in the stadium did an invalid fair catch signal earlier in that game. And yeah, I mean, there's always going to be a problem because those two moves look almost exactly the same, especially, uh-huh, when you're running around at speed. And I mean, whatever. It's hard to get too worked up about a team losing when it musters 10 points in an entire game.
Well, can we talk about the funny? So I also was bummed because the kick return, the punt return was amazing.
It was a great run. Yeah.
But there's this immediate moment of, oh no, Iowa's dead now. That was the chance. This,
right. Because they still had time.
Not only did they have time, Jason, they were at their own 46, down 2.
Down 2, not 4, not 5. Like, yeah, they just needed a couple, you know, a couple plays, and they would have had a field goal shot. And it was just like, no, they're fucked. They're fucked.
Instead, they took a sack, threw an incompletion, and threw a pick.
Yeah, they just, literally any other team, we would have thought, they just get a few yards and they can kick it.
Uh-huh.
A few what? They got, as Stuart Mandel pointed out, they got 2 yards in the whole second half. Two.
Deacon Hill in the pocket looks like a man in one of those hurricane machines at the mall.
This team is awesome. This it's such a great experience. I don't know how anyone can invest emotionally in it, but just this, it's like beyond comedy.
And they lost their sweet pig. This is PJ's first
pig. Oh, yeah. PJ has the pig now.
PJ gets the pig.
Did you see they buckled the pig in with a seatbelt on the bus?
That's really good. I love that.
They made sure Floyd was safe. So Midwestern of them.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Minnesota is also an extremely Iowa team, just for the record.
Yeah.
Like, to hold a team to 2 yards and in the second half and still nearly fucking lose, that's Iowa's shit.
Yeah, you have met yourself, and here comes another one, Rutgers, and another one, Nebraska.
Bowl eligible Rutgers.
Yeah.
Who won't need to dispose of Iowa in the Big Ten West? At least not at least from a playoff perspective.
Let's see here. Who do
we
want?
The West will continue.
Iowa to play in a bowl. SMU has a really good defense. That's weird.
I think you need to pick an SEC team.
Yeah, that's true. Because it'll be one of those Florida games.
Yeah.
So Georgia's too good. Tennessee has the best SEC defense.
Oh boy. All right. Hey, here is an alarming statistic I looked up.
I feel like I've been through enough today.
So last year, Tennessee,
you get to beat Iowa.
Last year, Tennessee was extremely good on fourth down. They were 12th in the nation. They converted 2/3 of their fourth down attempts. Went for it 33 times, which I think was like top 10 in the nation, and top 16, as it turns out, and converted a ton. This year, they are one of their last 10. Like, it's very weird to watch Tennessee make what I think are most of the time the right decision to go for it on fourth. And then the actual play is like, oh, that was not the, like, I am curious, Holly, how you feel about this particular part of the Tennessee football experience in 2023.
First of all, Bama got by Tennessee. That's neat. I love that for them. I know that they were really up for a revenge game to snap the streak that began last year. I'm really hesitant always to question any coach's play calling because in both directions, like we talked in recent weeks about how coaches are just people, you know, and we don't really treat them as people. You know, we treat them as ciphers. We treat them as, you know, we treat them as two-dimensional objects when they're people having bad days. And it's entirely possible that there was a play call fucked up today because Mario Wunder came out last night. But but also, like, I'm not there. I'm not at field level. I'm not seeing what they're seeing. I don't know who's secretly nursing an injury and who's not. But there were some calls today. Today was the first time I remember thinking that there were multiple calls and situations that just did not put the kids in the right position to succeed.
Yes.
And the kids were not helping at certain points. Like, this is, Bama just didn't play well in the first half, and Tennessee just didn't play well in the second half. Like, if you had switched time and flopped the two halves of this game, I think they would have won. Can I talk about a very, very funny moment, especially for Bama? This is very sweet. Their kicker is now within striking distance of Keenan Reynolds' career points record.
Yes.
who ever saw that coming?
I love that for him. Also, go if you missed this game, just go look. Squirrel White, that first Tennessee touchdown, Squirrel White made the most, not impossible, but improbable catch I've ever seen that didn't involve pass interference. He caught the ball when it was already past him, like by the back stripe of the ball, and pulled it back towards him. Like, it looks fake. Mm-hmm. But I did have a question that I wanted to... So, yeah, anyway, I don't think the coaches may... And I feel weird second-guessing coaches because I have a fraction of the information they have, but I thought the play calling was has been weirdly conservative all year, and I thought that there was less of that today, but it kind of crept back in as the game went on. O-line injuries, like we said before, turned out to be a pretty big factor. But more importantly, is it spiritually funnier to have 5 men on the field at the snap or 13?
I vote 5. You know why?
5. Live yeah. bold.
Okay. Fuck okay, you. That's all we need.
Yeah.
For your work. Okay. That is funny.
It's like in Mech Warrior when you get more points for using less weapons.
Yeah.
So what Jason was saying about Ohio State and how we've been accustomed to a certain standard of living on offense, and it sort of made us forget the defense. Reliable as, I don't know, the past like 5 iterations, maybe longer.
Mm.
The defense is still quite terrifying. And it's easy for that to sort of get lost in the mix because, you know, in a similar fashion, we've seen like multiple first round picks and these wide receivers who like go to the NFL and are awesome and this, that.
Tennessee's just got to stop imploding on the road. They're not good when they're away from home right now. I don't know what's up with that. I have heard that this team has what's been referred to by people closer to the program than me as a record low number of shitheads in the locker room, which is great.
And they didn't get physically dominated either.
No, I don't think so. Like this was a really good year to get Bama, and it did not happen. One more really, really, really important thing. Gary and Brad who are frankly just, oh God, I can't wait till we're out from under these two. don't look like their wives. The Gary and Brad were talking at the beginning of the game about, boy, we had a track meet last year. We think we're in for a track meet this year. And Brad goes, yeah, who's going to get the last punch? What does Brad Nessler think track meets are?
Awesome.
And also, I would like to live in whatever track meet. I would like to see whatever he thinks a track meet is, because that sounds incredible.
You pass Brad Nessler the baton, and he just starts wailing on the dude next to him.
Don't let him near the javelin. Listen,
what if the guy chasing you in the relay with a quarter lap head start is from the opposite team, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can punch you to the ground...
You know what?
They get to take the baton.
You know what? That's Brad Nessler riding a metaphor, Ryan. That's it. He's just he started the metaphor and he's going to finish it.
Also, somewhere Vince McMahon is like, I have an idea for XFL track and field.
Back in the game, boys.
Okay. Last thing. Joe Milton trucked the living shit out of Malachi Moore on like the third play from scrimmage. And that was, I will carry that to my grave. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
It wasn't even a juke.
Wasn't. He hit him with, he put both shoulders down. Like, I thought he might have targeted him.
Listen, he ran over him like an Amazon truck eating a mailbox. Just.
Penix is back in Washington and scored.
Okay. All is right in the world. I am now fully on Spencer's side of Nick Saban is having fun with this because it's so much coachable moment.
So many coachable moments. Yeah.
So much shit to fix.
Listen, he was giving like Frank Beamer sex eyes in his pre-game interview.
I'm telling you, the man's alive.
And I would like he was purring. It was unsettling.
Mm-hmm. All those points just made him dead inside. Like,
yeah,
he couldn't handle it. All of a sudden, he's got this team. He's got to actually coach and manage and. Yeah. Oh, the thrill. Also, you know how, like, you had to do, like, Nick is still doing things that make him unhappy. And I can tell you why. It's because Jalen Milroe had 9 carries today. They actually had to trot out a little bit of zone read. And
Milroe and Milton both.
Yeah, yeah.
Got opened up. Steven, what the fuck are you talking about? Why is there a man in the comments asking me to stop the cope? What fucking cope? Do you want me to cry?
I'll cry.
Stop the cope, bro.
I would like to cry. I'm just tired. Yeah. That's all.
Respectfully, stop the cope, bro. Here's some copium.
I don't spend enough time on Reddit to know what that particularly means, but do you want me to yell?
Seethe, weep. I'm just going to keep vomiting up words someone else wrote.
They played good for half and fell apart. What do you want from me, dude? This is not a very interesting game.
I'm going to croap. Thank you, Dr. Chalupa, the new drug of choice for the shutdown forecast. Croap.
If you want me to scream and kick my heels, let's talk about UCF Oklahoma. Gus, you got cute.
Gus got super cute. You know what? I love that, though.
To be fair, Gus is cute.
The whole Big 12 is cute.
Yeah.
It's so cute how Kansas State absolutely trash can.
Oh my god.
TCU.
Oh my god. You know what? Just as TCU was like, all right, we've had a weird start to the season, but there's a long way to go. Obviously it's not gonna be as magical as last year, but we beat BYU 44-11. We're figuring it out. Oh god, here it comes.
Do you know what this was? This was a Mario Wonder game, because you're like, all right, I got 4 hours sleep the night before. But tonight I'm going to go to bed. And then you're like, I found a real interesting YouTube channel, but that's okay. Next night I'm going to go to bed.
Careful with those YouTube channels.
Yeah, careful with that. I found the Hitler trivia channel. It's amazing.
Oh my God, Hitler ran for 85 yards on TCU? Jesus Christ.
But then like the next night you're like, you know, oh shit, Mario Wonder came out. 4 a.m. Guess it's another 3-hour night. That's TCU. They just can't stop doing bad things. They can't stop.
Kansas State ran for 343 yards, and the highest rusher had 89.
Oh my god. This looks like an entire high school class ran on this game. Like, there are
this
so many people in this
cross country meet.
This is a cross country meet.
Where are the punches?
In my day, track meets had punches.
This looks like the This looks like the attendance award at an elementary school award ceremony. When you know you're like, oh fuck, like 20 people won.
Everybody's got to get something. God damn it! Fine, everybody gets 43 yards rushing against TCU.
Listener, you may be a recipient of a carry from the Kansas State offense against TCU. There are so many names here. Oh god.
The emotional equivalent of the unclaimed baggage store.
It is. I implore you to check out two rushing stats, by the way. Go look at UNLV's box score and look at the total number of rushes and how many people had carries, because it's like that every game. There's like 9 rushers and 5 of them each have 10 carries and they just run the ball all day. And then go look at this Kansas State rushing column, because it is astonishing, including, by the way, Will Howard. Will Howard, not known for his wheels, Will Howard had 62 yards rushing on just 4 carries. Old Lightning Will.
Yeah. Oof. Ah.
I love how everyone who joins the stream late wants to know if we've talked about Hitler yet.
Yes.
Talking about Hitler, yeah.
Did I miss the Hitler fact?
Eddie, you may be looking for late kick Josh.
Ohio State.
It's going to get me every time.
It's funny every time.
Is Oklahoma State also good now? I'm confused.
Had a pretty dramatic turnaround there. Lost to USA, and then...
Because the three teams they've beaten now, after losing to South Alabama and Iowa State, are Kansas State, Kansas, and West Virginia. As like the middle of the Big 12 goes, that's pretty decent, right?
Yeah. I mean, no, beating any three Big 12 teams is pretty good.
That's mostly true, yeah. At this point, I don't know if Cincinnati can.
You're going to run into good eventually. If I just keep taking Big 12 teams.
If you beat any three and one of them is Cincinnati, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, it is. It is like a card deck that you're like, this is all eights. I don't understand.
Hey, Coach Gundy, I got a question. Would you support Hitler being shown in a trivia question on the board?
Just for informational purposes only.
I don't think we should be ashamed of our history.
Yeah, Will, first.
What do you mean by our history?
I'm not
sure. Mike Gundy going, well, first of all, Hitler was a cyborg. Bet you didn't know that.
If he takes it that far, then I'm like, okay, it's fine. Yeah. Let him talk.
Do you guys think this was a psyop gone wrong because they said Austria and they wanted to upset every Michigan fan into fuming in the stands and going, it was Austria hungry?
That's.
You know what? Gundy would have my ass there too. He'd be like, goddamn, Mike Gundy's right. It was an empire.
Somebody clip that.
Yeah. Clip it.
Clip which.
Spencer Hall canceled for
Yes, I guess. Mike Gundy would be like, I support Spencer Hall. And I'd be like, no, Spencer Hall's free speech.
Free speech advocate, pipe, Spencer Hall.
Pipe down, tan man. No.
You know, between his beard and my hair, we are quite an attractive pair.
We could look like the weirdest human being ever born.
Hello, I'm Beach Santa. It's nice to meet you.
If you create
Krampus.
If you go into a video game and you create a character that looks like a cross between Mike Gundy and me, the video game will go no and reboot.
You might actually get cross some kind of international vibe dateline and get a normal person.
Yeah, they'd be like, this just looks like Grandpa.
He's real dried out, right? I don't think of you as being especially arid.
Nah, you juicy.
No, Spencer is canonically moist.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Ryan made it weird. I didn't make it weird.
Robustly watery. Yes.
Yeah, but Oklahoma nearly losing to UCF and Texas only beating Houston in part because like the officials were just like, I don't know, spot the ball is hard.
Like, that happened a couple of times today.
I didn't make that up. There were a lot of times today where I was just like, I think they just don't feel like spotting it right.
Yeah. I identify with that way more than the fair catch call in the Iowa game because that felt like, I have a point to make, Professor.
You didn't assign us homework.
You forgot about the exception to the rule, Professor.
Jealousy, Professor.
I have a point, and my hand is raised.
Spotting the ball correctly or incorrectly, to me, it feels like a legitimate protest against the balls not having fucking computer chips in them. The balls should spot themselves at this point. So, like, if you're asking a whole-ass person to do it with their, you know, to take time out of their day.
Old men, too. These are mostly old dudes.
While they're busy watching not just 22 people, but also coaches and people milling back and forth along the sideline and keeping track of downs and scores.
And they're in pants. They don't want to be in pants.
There shouldn't be more rules, but there should maybe be more refs.
Ball refs? I think there should be 11. Make it fair.
There we go. Yeah.
Three teams.
Like a buddy system. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God, we're going to get so many like receivers blown up trying to cross midfield.
There's a damn crowd.
Like, think about this. Your average fucking CVS tracks what are things that are kept behind the glass in a CVS?
Cigarettes,
razors, right?
Detergent.
So the average CVS tracks a bottle of detergent more clearly than people track the movement of a ball on a football field, right?
Millions of dollars bet on where it ends up.
Right.
Target is closing because the refs didn't give Houston a first down.
That's true, though. Mike Gundy just saying yes to every alternate fact.
Mike Gundy's back.
Get out of here, Mike Gundy.
Well, I think that's
Mike
true.
Mike Gundy has inhabited the voice of Spencer.
Yeah.
Mike Gundy throwing his voice. I got shoplifted in San Francisco.
Just me and Mike.
Coach, why were you there?
Just me and Mike Gundy out noodling, and I'm just saying ridiculous shit like, hey, you know, Hot Topic is actually, that's a Baptist store. You didn't know that? And he's like, no.
Wait, is that real?
Yeah.
Is that for? Are they just trying to turn out little goth trad wives?
That's it. They're just trying to turn out little goth trad wives. And Mike Gundy's like, hell yeah, brother. Yeah. You could just say anything to Mike Gundy, and he would probably back you up and be like, I read that too.
He's like,
except for wage theft. He's sincere in his love for wage theft.
Yeah, but that's done by the wage theft elves.
He's like if Aaron Rodgers,
I
guess, had never left the state of Oklahoma.
Never.
Except against his will.
I just know why he didn't get those jobs, because he finished up the interview and the door shut. The people are like, that guy's fucking weird.
Holy shit, man. What was he talking about?
He's too weird for multiple Tennessee administrations.
Well, I learned a lot, but...
I
don't know if any of it was true.
Yeah. Do you know microwave popcorn is made with ferret blood? That's why ferrets are so popular among hippies, because they're always loving the popcorn, but they got to grow the ferrets to make it.
As you know, hippies love popcorn. Granted, goes without saying. But
Mike Gundy would be like, I read that. I heard this.
They found the horn.
Exactly. We don't.
Wait. They found the popcorn.
That's right. They did.
They did. They found it. That's crazy.
Crazy, man.
They said they shouldn't pop it, but they popped it.
God, Mike Gundy should absolutely go on Joe Rogan.
That's what we want.
Why?
No.
Yes, we want it. I want to see some free speech.
No, if you put Mike Gundy on Rogan, that'll be the first time that man demands a source. Gundy's going to say some shit, and Rogan's going to be like, no way.
This is too much for even me.
Look that up. We need a source on this, Jones.
Flamingos commit most child trafficking? You can't just say that.
Coach,
you can't.
Listen, Coach, I respect your various Fiesta Bowl victories, but come on.
And that's why I can bench press 3,000 pounds. Thank you, Coach Gundy.
Or he goes, or maybe Stonehenge face AJ Hawk is your fact checker. Just the just person I scroll past 19 times a day, motionless, just observing Pat McAfee.
He's like the statue from Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Like, what is he? Is he a bodyguard?
I don't know.
Like, his deal?
One theory I floated is he's like Marvel's Uatu the Watcher.
Just
cannot weigh in, cannot involve himself, but must record everything that takes place. Like, yeah. I've never watched McAfee shit, but like you scroll past it 1,000 times a day and there's always AJ Hawk's thwomp-sized face sitting there doing nothing. I didn't even recognize it as AJ Hawk for a while.
Maybe he has a thwomp, and you have to approach his face for it to move.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Okay. You got to get it to go up and then run under it. Yeah.
Or maybe he's like the Mario ghost, and you have to, if you're looking at him, he's shy and he won't do anything.
If you watch
if you turn your back, he'll chase you.
Well, I'm never not looking at him because at all times I'm scrolling past Pat McAfee videos. So
I keep waiting for like that third hour of the show for him to just, you know, like, after hours of silence, to just go.
Oh my God! Scorpion started crawling out of his mouth.
Or just start singing.
Just doing Tibetan throat singing, right?
Pat, I think I'm going to beatbox now.
What if he starts it off so quietly and like frog blows it to where you're not even sure that it's a noise?
What is that fucking noise?
Rutgers completed 5 passes today and beat Indiana by 17 points at homecoming in Bloomington. That's all.
Put up the lawn chair, crack a beer, Greg. It's all vacation from here. Bowl eligible, right? Put those feet up, Daddy. You did it.
Scheduling Indiana homecoming has got to be a real challenge. What do you work with? Like, their home games were Ohio State to start the season. Indiana State could have gotten it in early. Akron? Why didn't you make Akron homecoming? Mm-hmm. You won, granted, quarter overtime, but those are...
So,
just do Akron next time.
Yeah, just... Well, yeah.
Well, shit, Michigan State's coming up.
Yeah, there you go. Homecoming 2, the sequel!
How confident are you right now that Indiana would beat Michigan State?
Well, that's why we're scheduling homecoming number 3, just in case.
I'm not going to go
auxiliary homecoming. Yeah.
I guess it's pretty sad that you made Rutgers your homecoming, and it's like, ooh, that's a daunting ask.
And they ran all over them. They went for 276 yards. Rutgers ate your shit up.
I would like to call back to earlier in the day. For two reasons. One, the Battle of the Bones, the greatest trophy in all of college football, was awarded to the Memphis Tigers, who won 45-21 over 2-6 UAB in Birmingham. Congratulations on possession of the finest piece of bric-a-brac that the sport has to offer. The second thing is, hey, Alex Kirshner, huh? Alex Kirshner, you try to get Ryan Silverfield fired again?
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 He was real into that last year.
You know who heard that? That's right. Coach Silverfield, baby. It's like, I heard one guy wanted me fired. It's over. The conversation's done. We are not starting a conversation or a dialogue about this. It's my favorite petty beef is, for some reason, Alex was like, I don't know, Ryan Silverfield's just not getting it done at Memphis. I'm like, get off his ass, he's in Memphis.
No, you were talking about it like somebody with a lot of money on Memphis or emotional preference.
Or like a booster I admire the confidence that young Alex Kirshner was like.
How do you know he's not a booster?
I don't.
I think Memphis is a good investment. Yeah. Memphis is always a good place to put your money.
Do you think Brett Bielema was furious or aroused to watch his team lose on a touchdown pass thrown to a leaping 6'8" offensive lineman?
All right, you brought it up, so I'll say it. How often do we realistically think those two emotions are decoupled in that man?
That's a really fair point. That's a real, you know what? That brain is wired in some ways that cannot be fixed.
Which one do you think was more dominant in that moment, the anger or the horniness?
Horny.
Is it 51-49 or is it a far?
No, I think it's a good 60-40,
90-10?
Yeah. 51-49.
I think it's a horny party with
angry
overtones.
I like that you've
overtones.
Turned into Steve Kornacki for Brett Bielema's emotions. Horny.
Some late, a tranche of votes has come in for horny.
The Quagsire's connection suggestion of horngry.
So, like, yeah. Skornacki's got the map, and he's, like, pointing at Bielema's various orifices, right? And, like, this one is...
Thank you. I just imagined the Bielema-shaped graph that appeared in
now,
my head.
Now, this is a critical precinct right here.
You think
it's
they
even
show,
better with the Wisconsin
show, like,
accent.
Like, an outline of his body, like in Body Wars?
Now, nipples usually vote early, so we're going to get a lot of data from there early.
Jesus
at the start of the night, but don't be swayed by what nipples think.
Now, they typically go red, so it means a lot that they're a little bit more pink tonight.
You'll notice most of the Bielema is red.
People pay money for this podcast.
Especially
Wisconsin
this part.
Wisconsin is a purple state.
But yeah.
Illinois
sure didn't win that game, and sure looked like they were just going to easily win it before Wisconsin won the fourth quarter 18-0. I don't know if, like, what we're going to think about the Wisconsin offensive change experience after 1 year. Maybe it's just like they don't have the right guys. You know, Tanner Mordecai didn't even play in this game. He broke his hand last week against Iowa. So, like, maybe it won't matter. And God, they got to play Ohio State next week. So.
You said Tanner Mordecai broke his hand against Iowa. My first thought was, so? Wouldn't affect his performance against Iowa.
It sounds like the start of a Mountain Goat song.
Tanner Mordecai broke his hand against Iowa.
Missouri's fucking awesome. No surprise there. We've known that. They're traditional
that's,
football
that's
power.
Why we, that's why we invited them to the SEC.
Yeah. It was strictly on football merit. And, I mean, it took us this long to get to mention it because, like, we're kind of sick of talking about how great
Texas
they are.
A&M we invited for Cool Dog.
A&M we invited because Mizzou's like, can my friend come along? And we're like,
yeah, you guys can come. Just bring your
Mizzou
dog.
Mizzou plus one. We don't care. Whatever.
Right, whatever
do
it takes.
Mizzou.
Whatever it takes is get Mizzou.
Get Mizzou. What is it? I forget the thing Kevin Costner wrote in Draft Day about drafting the guy. That's basically that, but with Mizzou. Mizzou, no matter what, that's it.
Yes.
Nebraska somehow is 4-3, man.
Yeah, they could win that division, I think.
Why is that surprising to you?
I thought they'd be worse. I did.
I mean, like based on the last decade and the start of the season. And
I know.
But who have they beaten?
Absolute value.
Games that count. This game counts. They beat Northwestern.
They beat Illinois and Northwestern. Those and count. I honestly, after seeing them in the first couple of games of the season, that didn't
You thought
seem
they
like...
wouldn't beat Northwestern?
Yeah, no, I didn't
three.
Know, man.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I didn't know if they'd beat... I certainly didn't think they'd beat Illinois.
We don't make Spencer do enough predictions.
Okay.
Out of the prediction business, but this feels like it could be fun.
All right, here's their last five games. They got to get two to get bowl eligible. You tell me if they're going to do it or not. Purdue at home, at Michigan State, Maryland at home, at Wisconsin, Iowa at home.
Damn. Which bowl are we talking about?
Yeah. We talking playoff, brother?
I think we're making a Florida bowl here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck. This isn't just the Santa Clara bowl that changes its name every 8 minutes. We're aiming
so,
high.
So for the record, like, okay, yeah. I think they beat Michigan State. I can go out on that limb.
Okay.
I think they beat Michigan State. Yeah. I think, God, who else have they got on there?
There's that Purdue.
The Purdue game is, the Purdue game, let's go ahead. I think they can win that one.
Okay. Okay.
They continue to play this well.
Okay. Let's go. So Wheat. I think they Let's get to here.
A bowl.
Okay.
A bowl. Now
our Huskers.
Our Huskers. Yes.
Who knows what Illinois at this point? Who knows what Iowa's going to be at the end of the season? They're just they're so beat up and so sham.
They're in the Listen, they're in the hurricane machine, buddy. That's where, that's where they put their offense. They put a dollar in the machine, and they're like, "Oh, it's a little too much."
I was like kind of joking when I said I wanted this over under to be below 30, but now it's like, no, it's gonna happen. Like today's got down to 30.5 and went under, and would have done it even if that touchdown had counted. Like no, we're gonna hit the 20s, I believe.
Yeah. I have one more game to note.
Is it about Hitler?
I think I can say this. We've had enough Hitler for
Apparently,
one show.
Apparently, Washington has turned it over to start the second half, which they are still losing 7-3. So,
good God!
Real quick, your FCS winners of the day: South Dakota State, as always, Furman, and Montana State. As I understand, is cooking up joining that group.
All
but
right.
We'll see if Sac State can pull it off.
Right. Montana State, I think, missed two field goals wide right and is still leading. Are they still leading?
They are right now.
Yeah.
Congratulations to bowl-eligible Georgia State. That is correct. The Georgia State Panthers 2017 over Louisiana. Shouts out to the Concrete Campus. Well done.
Was that the other game before I interrupted you?
That was it's an Atlanta thing. I have to congratulate our hometown team.
Sure.
The only one, yeah.
The only one.
Atlanta's only college football team.
There we go.
Listen, the branding works.
I don't know if any other
college babes will brand you.
Here's the thing, based on what happened today, the Georgia Tech fans are fine with that.
I'm sorry to the kid this morning who said he wasn't feeling well. And I told him to watch Boston College, Georgia Tech anyway, on the grounds that it might be medicinal. There's all kinds of medicines.
Some of them suck for a while.
Yeah, some of them are hella unpleasant. You got one of those, and I'm sorry about that.
Boston College might make a bowl game. That's a weird thing to say.
There's a lot of crazy shit going on.
Huh, okay. I don't understand Georgia Tech at all. Georgia Tech's season is truly fucking nonsense. They have alternated loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. So actually, I do understand it. They're going to beat North Carolina next week.
That sounds like a mathematical formula.
Yeah. Sorry me for not understanding A-B rhymes game.
I just want to note JMU is 7-0 and will nevertheless be barred from the postseason.
Too dangerous. That's why.
Too
They're
good.
Scared.
Too dope. Air Force threw a 94-yard touchdown pass. Which seems like the kind of thing Air Force should do all the time because they're called Air Force. But no, that's the kind of thing they do never. And Air Force also 7-0.
Sam Houston also continues to lose in like the most backbreaking ways possible.
They're so close.
It sucks. It really
we're,
sucks.
We're almost there. Yeah.
Another one, South Florida managed out of the last time we said something nice about them. They immediately turned around and got destroyed by Florida Atlantic. So I'll say this very quietly. South Florida beat UConn 24-21. Mm-hmm. They already have more wins in Alex Golish's first year as head coach than they did in the entirety of the Brad Scott regime. So congratulations to them. If they win two more, and they are favored in two more of their games, they're going to have six wins, and they'll go to a bowl.
We also got a good trivia future bar trivia question today. Bo Nix is now the NCAA FBS, at least, career leader in quarterback starts. He passed I've immediately forgot the people he passed. I'm so tired. It's fine.
Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar held that record.
Kellen Moore was one of them, and yes, Julius Caesar was there.
Thanks, Coach Gundy.
Somebody pointed out his first game was against Justin Herbert, who's been in the NFL three or 4 years. Coach Hall, your mean green, gave Tulane a real challenge.
We gave him what for, buddy? But it's about the process, not about the results.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to fall in love with that, even if we're heartbroken by the results.
Welcome.
Well, you know, when you're trying to coach the 7-4 offense, and by 7-4, I mean the time signature that we use in our free jazz offense, It's a tricky system. I'm not going to lie about that. And sometimes, you know, that's on me for not teaching them the time signature and the key changes.
Yeah, post-hardcore defense can be a real challenge.
If you want to get in here and tell them it's actually 5-4, I will unmute you.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Spencer was wrong? Damn.
No, damn. You know what? You know, wow, I wasn't wrong. I wasn't wrong, was I, Coach Gundy? No, that's correct.
No, those numbers line up great.
5-4, please, Brubeck Philistines.
Since I've talked shit about LSU all year, LSU 62-0 over Army. That's legit very impressive. Putting up that many points despite Army's goal of letting you only have 5 plays on offense. That's a great game by LSU.
How many plays did LSU run in this game? Let's see.
Oh God.
60. Okay.
That's efficient. Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's call that efficient.
60 plays, 570 yards. Jesus Christ.
How much would I have to pay you to ask why do you hate the troops, Brian Kelly? To his face in a press conference. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have access to the press conference is the main issue, but other than that, yeah.
If I got you in, is that a $20 question?
I'll do it for free, brother.
LSU LSU approved the shutdown full cut. Imagine that.
What would I need to do? What do I need to be credentialed at LSU for?
I have a quote for you. This is from tonight, post game. Kyle Whittingham.
Oh, no.
Yep. About when asked about his quarterback. They've got a Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback, so they're going to make some things. And that's just the way it is. But we've got ourselves a pig farmer at quarterback, so we're proud of that guy, too.
I thought you were talking about, like, Cam Rising being out for the season. Okay.
No. They have a pig farmer at quarterback.
I have immediate faith in this person.
I feel obligated. I know it today doesn't count because Missouri is the best team in the SEC. Yeah, no question, whatever. South Carolina has to play Texas A&M next. Do you know who they play after that?
Who?
Jacksonville State.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Who's coaching? What upstart is coaching Jacksonville State anyway?
What young, handsome?
Mm-hmm. I didn't say that.
I'm saying those
Brian
things.
Called him handsome.
I'm saying those things. I have low standards.
I keep finding older veteran coaches who I didn't even know were alive who were on that staff. Like Rich Rod got the whole band back together.
We can't talk about Rich Rod and Kyle Whittingham back to back after midnight on a Saturday because some of these readers are going to hang up and start texting people they shouldn't.
Do you want to talk about Brett Bielema's zones?
Let's go back to Bert's hotspots.
Zones of Brett Bielema.
Now, traditionally, the Grundle reports last. Ah! We expect that if you're in line in the Grundle, stay in line.
I think technically the butthole reports last.
It depends. Sometimes it's early.
Yeah. If it reports first, you're in trouble.
The ultimate exit poll.
Did someone say poll?
All right, we gotta end the show now.
All right.
I think our college football coverage has concluded.
Thank you to Zepalmont for concluding with a comment I think we can all agree upon that I'm gonna put up here on the screen.
Yo, I'm gonna go take some crope, bro.
Holly, why don't you crope?
Your fucking copy pasta brain.
I still don't understand what that man meant, but I banned him before he could find out.
All right, guys, enjoy your cropium. Cropium was invented by the ancient Greeks. Isn't that right, Coach Gundy?
Hang up!
There's no such thing as ancient Greece.
That's true. I read that somewhere.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.